unrest in the Middle East, the economic crisis in Europe, Iran threatens Israel, the moral decay of America. What are the prophetic trends, and why is prophecy important? Stephen LeBlanc discusses these issues and the events surrounding the return of Jesus Christ. And now for World Watch Today, Stephen LeBlanc.
We're talking about Russia today. We're going to be looking at Russia in the year 2017. Now, the nation of Russia plays a very significant role in end time events, and we see Russia mentioned in prophecy time and again. Did you realize that this year marks the 25th anniversary of the fall of the Soviet Union? Now, I've been to Russia. I've spent a bit of time in Moscow and also in St. Petersburg. Beautiful cities in a way, but Russia's suffering right now in a very terrible way because of its economy. Its economy is almost in collapse. I remember what England's Prime Minister Winston Churchill famously said about Russia. This is interesting. Remember, he said, "Russia is a riddle wrapped in a mystery, inside an enigma." In other words, it's very difficult to figure out what Russia will do. Now, Russia does have a certain personality, but the personality of Russia is not a Western European personality. And the Russian people, they have their strengths, and they have their weak points as well. Now, the main issue for Russia in 2017, it's not going to be a military issue. Now, Russia does not want to get bogged down in Syria, so it's going to be looking to get itself extricated from the Syrian conflict. Also, another issue concerning Russia, and it, I should say which concerns Russia, is Ukraine. Now, Russia cannot fix its Ukraine problem through force. So it's going to try to reach a settlement that will allow the status quo to remain in place. So let me get back to the great problem Russia faces in 2017. The problem for Russia in 2017 is that its economy is in shambles. And also, Russia at the moment is trying to pour money into modernizing its military. But upgrading the military costs a lot of money. Now, Putin of Russia, remember, Putin, Vladimir Putin, he does not act rashly. So Vladimir Putin, he is a very prudent player who has learned that the United States can be made to fold on a bluff. And that certainly happened a number of times under the Obama administration. So knowing when Russia's bluffing and when they are not bluffing, this is essential. So it's going to be very interesting to see what takes place under the new administration of Donald Trump. Will America be swayed by Russia's bluffing? But now let's discuss some of the fast facts about Russia. Fast facts about Russia, because I want to give you a general idea about this fascinating country of Russia. Now, Russia is actually located in a place called Eurasia. Now, Eurasia is an expression for the combined continental landmass of Europe and Asia. As a matter of fact, world news writers, some of them will say that Russia is in Europe, and others will say, well, it's actually outside of Europe. Now, the official language of Russia is Russian. But did you know there are 27 other languages in Russia? So there are 27 other languages that are co-official, and they exist in various regions throughout the country. Also, Russia is the largest country on Earth in terms of land mass. And Russia itself spans 11 time zones. I'll say that again. This is remarkable. Russia spans 11 time zones. Russia has a population of 145 million people. Now, compared with the United States, remember the United States, we have about 330 million people. Russia has 145 million people. And of course, Vladimir Putin is Russia's dominant political figure. Another interesting fact, there are approximately 10 million more women in Russia than there are men. Now, most likely, the imbalance is believed to be the result of so many men dying during World War II. Now, this goes back to an old wound that is still very raw with Russians. Did you know that during World War II, over 25 million Russians died during World War II. That was about 14% of the entire population at that time. And now some more statistics. Russia is second, it's rated second in terms of the production of oil. Saudi Arabia is rated number one. Now, these standings can change over a six-month period of time. As a matter of fact, they say that the United States will become the world's number one producer of oil over the next 2 to 3 years. This is fascinating. Russia has 21 million Muslims. I'll say that again. Russia has 21 million Muslims. Moscow, the largest city in Russia, has a very large Muslim population. The Muslim population in Moscow is, well, it's about 2 million. 2 million Muslims live in the Russian capital of Moscow. Now, remember, Moscow is a rather large city. The total population of Moscow is 12 million citizens. Now, the Russian economy, as it compares with the rest of the world, well, let's put it this way. America has the largest economy in the world. It is followed by China at number two. Japan has the third largest economy in the world. Germany has the fourth largest economy in the world. And Russia ranks ninth in terms of its economy in the world today. Russia remains the world's biggest natural gas shipper. 12 nations within the European Union rely on Russia for more than half their supply of natural gas. So millions of European homes are heated with natural gas coming from Russia. The European Union is very dependent upon Russian natural gas. Now, the next fact I have for you is rather depressing. There are over 500,000 alcohol-related deaths in Russia each year. Now, remember, Russians have a reputation for being heavy drinkers. This is sad, but it is true. One in four Russians will die before reaching the age of 55, compared to just 1% in the United States. And vodka is to blame. Now, this is a fascinating little fact. Japan and Russia, they still haven't signed a peace treaty to end World War II due to the Kuril Islands dispute. What about Russian paranoia? You know, the Russians have this reputation for being paranoid, and to some degree, that stereotype is accurate. But you have to understand Russian history. There's a reason why Russia is quote-unquote paranoid. They are fearful of foreign invasion. Let's just take a look at Russian history briefly here, which goes back hundreds of years. Russia was first invaded by the Mongols in the year 1237. Then the Swedes and the Teutonic Knights, they jointly invaded Russia in the year 1240. Then it was the Poles who invaded Russia in the year 1605. As a matter of fact, the Polish army occupied Moscow. And then it was the Swedes' turn to invade Russia, and that took place in 1708. And then you had the French. You had Napoleon's French army, which invaded Russia in the year 1812. And then this brings us to World War I. You had the Turks and the Germans who jointly invaded Russia during World War I. We're talking about the years 1914 to 1918. Then, of course, you had Hitler's vicious and brutal invasion of the USSR in 1941. So you can see where the Russians are rather paranoid when it comes to foreign invasion. This is why the Russians are adamant and why Vladimir Putin himself is so determined to keep a number of buffer states on his western flank. These buffer states need to be friendly toward Russia because Russia, believe it or not, is worried about yet a future invasion from Europe. What are the challenges facing Russia in 2017? Let's revisit some of this right now. We need to remember the geopolitics of nations. Now, the Russians are particularly concerned with Ukraine. They do not want Europe to get to be too friendly with the Ukrainians, especially the European Union, led by the Germans. I'll say that again. The Russians view Ukraine as a buffer state. Even though the Russians don't control Ukraine, They don't want to see Ukraine fall into the hands or under the sway of Germany and the European Union, nor do they want to see American troops massing within Ukraine itself. Now, most Ukrainians are anti-Russian. I had the opportunity, it was a wonderful opportunity, to visit Kiev, the capital of Ukraine, a couple of years ago. And the people I spoke with there in Kiev, I'm talking about the city of Kiev, they were very much opposed to Russia. They were afraid of Russia. And remember that Russia took over Crimea, which used to belong to Ukraine, and this just recently happened. So Ukrainians are fearful that Russia is going to try to make a play for Ukraine. And again, another point I want to just bring to your remembrance once again, the Russian economy is in serious trouble. Why? Because of oil prices. Russia's economy resembles Saudi Arabia's economy. Both Russia and Saudi Arabia, their economies revolve around the price of oil. And in Russia itself, when the price of oil goes down, people living outside of the two major cities of Russia, Moscow and St. Petersburg, those people don't get paid. Now we have to ask another question, because Russia has been very active in Syria. Why is Russia involved in Syria? Now, Assad was Russia's old ally. Remember, Assad is the leader of Syria. But you have to understand the reality of the situation. According to Vladimir Putin, Putin isn't overly concerned about Syria. In other words, he's not interested in maintaining a friendship, so to speak, with Assad. He has no real interest in saving Assad. Now, Russia does get port facilities in Latakia in Syria, and he has access to an airbase there. But there's more behind why Russia is in Syria today. Now, make sure to order our special CD, broadcast number 2017, where we talk about the biggest stories of 2017. We're speculating just a little bit here of what may take place in 2017, or more importantly, what to watch, what stories to watch in the year 2017. We'll send that CD to you free of charge. All you need to do is phone us at that toll-free number, which is 1-877-449-6753. Request broadcast number 2017. It's a toll-free call. The number again is 1-877-449-6753. And remember, Syria's civil war has created the worst humanitarian crisis of our time. Over half of the country's pre-war population, more than 12 million people, have either been killed or forced to flee their homes. We're talking about Syria. And according to the United Nations, life expectancy in Syria has dropped 14 years, from 70 to 56 years of age, all of this since the war began a few years ago. Now, the United Nations, it places the war's economic cost at Syria, or in Syria, at $255 billion. In effect, Syria is bankrupt. But the war is not over. The nightmare continues. Now, this just came out, and this is very interesting. This is the headline on Reuters. Russia, Turkey, Iran, dicing Syria into zones of influence. Syria would be divided into informal zones of regional power. Bashar al-Assad would remain president for at least a few years under an outline that has been drawn up, or potentially will be drawn up, between Russia, Turkey, and Iran. Now, again, this agreement has not been drawn up, but right now, Russia, Turkey, and Iran are talking about the possibility of dividing up Syria. Such a deal, which would allow regional autonomy within a federal structure, and it would be controlled initially by Assad's Alawite sect, but that would change over time. Now, this deal, a final deal, will be hard to come by because Iran just has doubts about the deal. Essentially, Russia and Turkey are in agreement. They're trying to bring Iran in on board. Now, Assad's powers, and remember, Assad is the leader of Syria, his powers would be cut under a deal between the three nations of Iran, Turkey, and Russia. Russia and Turkey would allow Assad to stay in power until the next presidential election. Then he would be forced to quit. Now remember, Iran has yet to be persuaded of this agreement. But either way, Assad would eventually go, and this would provide Assad a face-saving way out of the country, and it would guarantee him and his family safety. Now this potential agreement, and I say potential, it has not yet been determined, and we're just going to have to wait to see if Iran and Turkey and Russia come to an agreement, and if this actually, this agreement takes place. So we'll see what happens in the year 2017. What is very clear about all of this concerning Syria, remember we're talking about Russia today in the year 2017, Russia in prophecy, what is clear is that President Vladimir Putin wants to play the lead role in trying to broker a settlement, initially with Turkey and Iran. If he's able to pull this off, this would bolster Vladimir Putin in terms of his power in the Middle East. But let's not be naive. Even if a deal goes through, you will not see a quick peace in Syria. Now let's get back to the chief reason why Russia is actually involved in Syria. It has to do with leverage. Now, Russia has an interest in the Middle East. That is true. But there is a bigger issue here. Putin wants to use his authority in Syria to leverage his bargaining ability with the Americans and the Germans when it comes to Ukraine. I'll restate that. This is very important if you want to understand the dynamics of the Middle East and why Russia has put so much time and effort into Syria. Putin believes Syria will serve as a bargaining chip. Syria is a type of leverage. Putin wants to use his authority in Syria to leverage his bargaining ability with the United States and Germany when it comes to Ukraine. Now, I know I'm restating some of these things, but I want it to be clear to you because I realize all these various countries and leaders and names and so on, it's very easy to get confused. But this is important as well. Ukraine is of supreme importance to Russia. Syria is not that important to Russia. But Russia can use its influence in Syria to deal with America and Europe when it comes to the conflict over Ukraine. For Russia, it's about protecting its western flank. I'll state that again. For Russia, it's about protecting its western flank. Now, Russia has survived for centuries because of strategic depth in terms of land. Historically, control over the Baltic states, and by the Baltic states, I'm talking about Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, and Belarus as well, not a Baltic state, but this would include Belarus, and especially Ukraine. These nations, all of them, have been essential for Russia's survival because these nations, I'll state them again, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Belarus, and especially Ukraine, have served as a very important buffer zone for Russia. Historically speaking, and Vladimir Putin is an excellent authority when it comes to history. He's very sensitive to Russian history. Without this buffer zone, the likes of Napoleon, Kaiser Wilhelm II, and even Adolf Hitler, they would have conquered Russia. Russia needs this buffer zone. At least this is the thinking of Vladimir Putin. Now, the last outcome Russia wants to see is having Ukraine move into the European Union orbit. This is why I keep bringing up Ukraine. It would seem like, well, why is Ukraine so important? It's very important because it's important to Russia. But Ukraine is also very important to the United States. It's also very important to Germany. Who will gain control of Ukraine? Or at least we should ask the question, in what direction will Ukraine and its leadership lean? Will it lean toward the European Union, which it's doing right now, or will it eventually lean toward Russia? So we're taking a look at Russia in the year 2017. It is trying to work through a major economic crisis because the price of oil has gone down. That has severely crippled the Russian economy. But what does prophecy have to say about Russia in the future? Now, what we're talking about now concerning prophecy, it's not something that's going to unfold in the next 1 or 2 or 3 years, but eventually we're going to see major geopolitical trends, a change in these trends, and Russia will be right in the middle of these very important changes. So we need to go to Daniel chapter 11, and then we'll go to Daniel chapter 12, but let's just take a look at Daniel chapter 11, beginning in verse 40, because eventually you're going to see at the time of the end this king of the south, which we believe is an Islamic leader, he's going to attack a European dictator. Now, this European dictator does not exist at this time. He will come to power in the near future. But we find this clash between Islam and Europe that's going to take place. And as a result, this European dictator, a future dictator, is going to get upset and angry and eventually move into the Middle East. This leader is going to take control of the Middle East. We're told in Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 through 45, that this future tyrant from Europe, he will enter the glorious land, meaning Israel. He's going to enter into many countries. He's going to overthrow many nations. And this is going to take place again in the near future. We're told as well in the prophecy that this tyrant, this European beast dictator, will stretch out his hand against the countries, and even the land of Egypt shall not escape. And this beast power will have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. Now, once this European power moves into the Middle East, we're told that news from the east and the north shall trouble this end-time European dictator. Now, the news from the east and from the north, that's a reference to the east and to the north. We're referencing Russia. We're taking a look at the land area of Russia. So in other words, this is the dynamic. It's actually quite easy to understand. There's going to be a clash between Islam and Europe. Already tensions are rising between Islam and Europe. And eventually there's going to be a dictator out of Europe who will enter into the Holy Land, take control of the Holy Land. When this takes place, this is not going to be pleasing to Russia or to China. And eventually, these people to the east and to the north, including Russia, will then make a move toward the Middle East themselves. And we see from the north and from the east, there is this massive army that then moves toward the Middle East. And we're told very clearly that this army crosses the Euphrates River. Now, the Euphrates River goes through Iraq. So the book of Revelation, expanding on this particular aspect of Daniel's prophecy, describes two major troop advances involving the Euphrates River. Now remember, the Euphrates River used to be the ancient boundary between the Roman Empire and the adversaries to the east. Now these eastern powers, which would include Russia coming from the north and from the east, this massive army is going to number 200 million men. And they're going to launch a counterattack against this European power. Now, this is all described in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, 13 through 18. And now, very quickly, over to Revelation, chapter 16. I'm in Revelation, chapter 16, and verse 12, where we're told that the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. So these kings coming from the east, remember, they're moving toward the Holy Land. They're going to confront this European power in the Holy Land. They're coming from the east. A big part of this 200 million man army would include Russian troops. So let me go over the template again. We're talking about an end time template. We're going to see a horrific war. And eventually all these millions of armies, these troops, all of them eventually will fight against Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ will actually destroy them. What happens? We see that eventually there's going to be a clash between Islam and Europe. Already you have 50 million Muslims living in Europe today. There's a lot of tension in Europe regarding terrorist events taking place in Europe. So there's a lot of animosity. It's increasing between Muslims and your typical European. But we know in the very near future there's going to be a leader in Europe. We don't know who this person is at this time. Now, he may come to power 3 years from now, 7 years from now, 11 years from now. We don't know the exact timing, but he will come to power. He's going to be a dynamic leader, and he's going to say enough is enough, and he's going to respond to an attack by the Islamic world. And he's going to say, let's move into the Middle East. Let's take control of this troublesome Middle East. And he will move into the Middle East. But when he does this, Russia, China, Pakistan, the nations to the east and to the north will be very angry that this European power has moved into the Middle East. And this is where you get the 200 million man army that then marches from the north and the east, from Asia, in order to confront this European power. Now make sure to order our special CD, broadcast number 2017, where we talk about the biggest stories of 2017. We're speculating just a little bit here of what may take place in 2017, or more importantly, what to watch, what stories to watch in the year 2017. We'll send that CD to you free of charge. All you need to do is phone us at that toll-free number, which is 1-877-449-6753. Request broadcast number 2017. It's a toll-free call. The number again is 1-877-449-6753. I'm Stephen LeBlanc for World Watch Today.
World Watch Today has been a presentation of The Church of God. To request literature or free audio CD of today's message, phone us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. That number again is 1-877-449-6753. And don't forget to visit us on the web to view our latest blog on world news and prophecy. Our web address is worldwatchtoday.org. That's worldwatchtoday.org. Thanks for listening.